Romans chapter 9. In our passage that we are looking at in Romans chapter 9, we are working through a very difficult passage for many, because it speaks of the sovereignty of God and His electing purposes with man. So far in this chapter, we have seen that there have been two pairs of individuals that have been contrasted. First of all, we had Isaac and Ishmael. And then we had Jacob and Esau. As we looked at these, we saw that God had a purpose that He was working out. And I believe the purpose that was to be seen there was that God was selecting a line for the Messiah to come. It wasn't so much about heaven and hell issues. It wasn't even salvation or not having salvation. But really, it was Isaac's line that would be chosen. And out of Isaac's children, it would be Jacob and not Esau. This morning, we are going to encounter a couple of another pair, really. So many don't see it as they pass through this passage quickly, but we really do have a pair in the verses that we are to look at this morning. And they are a very contrasting pair. For we are going to contrast Moses and Pharaoh. We're going to deal with the mercy of God. And really, I trust as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see that both men received mercy, even though the one was hardened in the process. And I believe at the end of your, or someplace down in your handout, you have this little expression, and we're going to see it worked out, where it says, the same sun, S-U-N, that melts the wax, hardens the clay. Huh?
You got hardens the wax.
Well, make your corrections. The same sun which melts the wax hardens the clay. Yes. Get it. Let's get it straight. Yes. The same wax which melts the wax hardens the clay. You see, as the sun shines, when you have the wax out there, it melts. But that same sun shining on clay causes it to harden. And so let's look at the passage overall that we're going to look at, and then come back and examine the pieces. This morning we are at verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. Now this question that's raised here, is there unrighteousness with God? we have to say, certainly not. There is no unrighteousness with God. You remember, Abraham asks the question, shall not the judge of all the earth do just? What God does is going to be right. God is righteous in all of his ways. We must start there. Some, as they start looking at the sovereignty of God and the choices that God makes, say, well, God, you're not fair. Let me say, if God is God, God is fair. God is just. God is righteous. God is perfect in all of his ways. And it's interesting that this question is going to be illustrated by these two individuals, Moses and Pharaoh. Now, as we read in verse 15, where it says, he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion, we tend to look at that as merely an introduction to Pharaoh. And the idea is there that God didn't have mercy on Pharaoh. God didn't have compassion on Pharaoh. That verse, in a sense, is going to apply to Pharaoh. But in the immediate, when it was given, back in Exodus 33, God gave it to Moses. And he was the one who received mercy. He was the one who received compassion. Now let's review the setting there where this happens. Moses had been up on Mount Sinai and in that Sinai range, really, it's not a mountain, it's a range, had been up there in that range and had received the Ten Commandments. As he came down, he heard a party going on down at the foot of the hill. And here Aaron had been involved with collecting jewelry, and as they said, they put it in the fire and it just happened to come out a calf, you know. And so here we have that golden oxen, really, that they began to worship and celebrate and direct all of their emotional energy towards. God was not happy. Moses was not happy. And as a result of that, they had this thing where they said, now, Moses says, all of those who are really going to follow the Lord, come and stand over here. And the Levites came, it says. And then the result of that was they went through and they slew 3,000 of the Israelites. It was not a pretty picture. And Moses, being aware of God's feeling towards Israel at that point, and feeling that God was just going to dump them all together, he says, God, if it's necessary, blot out my name, that Israel may be saved. Now, it's interesting we have this verse at this place. Because back in the first two verses of this chapter, Paul says essentially the same thing that Moses said. He says, I could be accursed that my people might be saved. What was the problem with Israel in Moses' day that was also a problem with the Israelites in Paul's day? It was unbelief. There was unbelief in the camp in both places. And so God says, well, I will continue to lead these people. They're still my people. I mean, that's mercy. They had rebelled against him. They had gone, they'd turned their backs on him. And he says, they're still going to be my people. And he says, I am going to send my angel to lead the children of Israel. And then we have, that's in Exodus 32, as you come into chapter 33, we have the account where in this tabernacle of meeting, which was pre-tabernacle, really, the tabernacle hadn't been built yet, it was a tent that had been set up, we find that God came down and manifested his Shekinah glory, his presence there amongst the people. And Moses says, I am not satisfied, he says to God. He says, I am not satisfied just with a manifestation of your presence. I want to see you face to face. I mean that. And it is at that point, when Moses makes that request, that God says in Exodus 33:19, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have, this is verse 17, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be have compassion on whom I have compassion. So God says, I'm going to do something. And that's where, and then he goes on and he puts Moses in the cleft of the rock, and he, Moses gets this glimpse of some kind of manifestation, and God is spirit, so God, Moses didn't actually see God, but there was a manifestation of God in a special way that was beyond even the Shekinah glory that Moses got to see. Now, did God do that because Moses begged? No. Did he do it was because Moses was such a good guy? No, he had a few failures along the way, but he was the meekest man, it says, of in all the earth. So he was a good man. God manifested himself to Moses in a special way because God delights in mercy, and God will have mercy upon whom he has mercy, and he will have compassion upon whom he has compassion. That was the only reason. That's what he says. That is why Moses got to see it. It says there in verse 16, so then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. It has nothing to do with God, man's works, or his merit, or his character. God gives a, and here become, here we get to the, really the heart of it. He reveals himself in a special way to whomever he chooses. And I believe that is going to be at the heart of what we see this morning. God reveals out of mercy. God at times reveals himself to ways in ways that he doesn't reveal himself to everybody. He didn't do that for everyone, what he did for Moses, but he did. And now we're going to have the second case, and I believe in this case we are also going to see that God deals in mercy. And the character study here is that of Pharaoh. God, I believe, and we're going to see this, God showed Pharaoh mercy. how did God show Pharaoh mercy? Well, let me kind of show you where we're going, and then I'll take you and lead you down the path. God showed Pharaoh mercy by doing signs and wonders repeatedly before him to give him the opportunity to turn, respond to God, do what God was wanting him to do, which was to let the children of Israel go. But it says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. We are going to see how Pharaoh hardens his heart. Now in verse 17 it says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Now that's a quote out of Exodus 9:16, and it's going to be in the middle of a passage that we look at this morning. But let's think of here in Romans 9:17 what it's saying. Did he say, I have chosen to condemn you? Is that what this passage says? Because that's what many people read into it. That in God's election, he is choosing some to save and some to condemn. No, we find that God's elective purpose here is that Pharaoh might, in fact, the Hebrew quotation here says, let you live, and let you live, and he's speaking to Pharaoh. God chose to let him live, not to die, not to be condemned, but that he had a purpose. He was going to use Pharaoh to manifest his purpose in that day. He was going to show the world of that day that he was a God of power. And may I say, it has been a witness in the recorded scriptures of God's power ever since. I mean, to this day, people speak of the 10 plagues and what God did. And it shows how God is a God of power. We find in the biblical times that very specifically it speaks of God's power being witnessed to the nations by what he did with Pharaoh and especially the Red Sea crossing. Listen to this verse in Exodus 15:14. It says, the peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab, trembling grips them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they are motionless as stone until thy people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom thou hast purchased. And that is referring to the word that had gone probably through the trade routes of that day about what had happened in Egypt. It caused them to have a respect for God. And even they were intimidated by the Jewish people because of what God had done for them. You remember what Rahab says when she'd hidden the spies and they come to her. She says to them, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Already in Canaan, the word had come of what God had done. In a later period of time, in the time of Samuel, in 1 Samuel 4:8, this is when the ark had been captured. The Philistines say, "Woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness." So here, maybe 4 centuries later, at least 3 centuries, 300 to 400 years later, the witness is still going around. God did this. God did this. Better watch out for the Israelites' God. He's a God of power. Now, what does our verse say? The scripture says to Pharaoh, it's interesting, this attestation of the inspiration of scripture. For in the Old Testament, the quotation is God says. And God says is equivalent to the scripture says. The scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth." God was working out a purpose in having a Pharaoh, a unique purpose, and it was to show his glory. Now, some say that what God did was God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And when God has mercy on some and he hardens others, it's like this. God programs the brain so it can either, some he programs so they will respond, and some he programs so they won't respond. In fact, they would probably say all men have been programmed not to respond, and he programs some so that they can respond. I mean, that's the approach to it. But I want us this morning to see what happened in the life of Pharaoh that brought us to this point. So come with me, and let's start back in Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, we have perhaps a key foundational verse that lays the foundation for what is going to happen with Pharaoh and Pharaoh's heart and the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Exodus 3:19. This is when... This is in the burning bush incident, and God is commissioning Moses to go see Pharaoh. But what does it say in verse 19? "But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not even by a mighty hand." And what is he saying? God, in his foreknowledge, knew what Pharaoh was going to choose to do. Isn't that what that's saying? And he goes on here, and I think it's interesting there. He says, "So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst, and after that he will let you go." So he says he is going to do signs and wonders. And I believe we can call the signs and wonders that God has done in the presence of Pharaoh acts of mercy. They are opportunities for Pharaoh to respond. God does spectacular things. And Pharaoh has a choice at each point what he's going to do. Either he's going to respond positively and do what God wants, or negatively and do what he wants. So as we go here, we find, and down in 4 verse 17, because this little detail here kind of becomes significant. Verse 17, he says, to God says to Moses, And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. So this rod is going to be, in the first few miracles that he does, the rod plays a very prominent role. And so we find in verse 21 that as Moses goes down and takes his wife and sons and puts them on a donkey and goes down to Egypt, and it says in verse 20, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Here it is going to say, both of these have been predictive words. In chapter 3:19, it says Pharaoh will harden his heart. Here we find it predicted that God says, I will harden his heart. So which was it? Was it Pharaoh or was it God? Well, the answer is yes. Because it is both. Pharaoh hardens his heart as he sees the wonders. Notice that word here when God says he's going to harden his heart. How does God harden his heart? He hardens the heart of Pharaoh by providing opportunities for Pharaoh to go a different direction than what he's going. And as he shines his sun on Pharaoh, Pharaoh responds by hardening his heart, by refusing what God wants when God gives him opportunity. It's not that he does something programming his brain so that he can't respond. It's that Pharaoh chooses not to respond. So as we come along here, we find that in chapter 7, that they do a thing with this rod. In chapter 7, verse 9, it says, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. And so they did that. And then Pharaoh has his magicians do that, and they were able to, by doing magic, duplicate the miracle. But then there's, God throws in one little extra thing here. What happens? Aaron's rod gobbles up the rods of the Pharaoh's sorcerers. And it says at that point, here we find, here's where it begins, verse 13. Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. So Pharaoh hardened his heart in response to what God had done, when God provided him opportunity. So how did God harden his heart? He did it by doing a miracle in his presence and giving Pharaoh an opportunity to respond. So in verse 14 it says, so the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him, and the rod which was turned to a serpent, you shall take in your hand, and we're going to, he says, Pharaoh, let the people go, or these waters are going to become blood. And what does it say in verse 22? The magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard. And he did not heed them as the Lord had said. The Lord had said he would harden his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. It shouldn't be a big surprise. So now we come to the second plague, which is, that's frogs. And in verse 5, the Lord says to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the stream, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and caused frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So now watch this pattern, because it is going to repeat. Under chastisement, Pharaoh's heart begins to soften. We see that in verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord." So Moses says, okay, and he goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, we're going to remove this plague. But as soon as the chastisement lifts, the softening which had begun returns to hardness. We see that in verse 15. And when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. As the Lord had said. The Lord said he was going to harden his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. The relief from the punishment showed what was really in the heart. It was a hard heart. So in verse 16, we come to the next one. We're going to have lice. And it says to Aaron, "Stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it might become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And then what do we find in verse 19? Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. Notice every time, just as the Lord said. The Lord said he was going to have a hard heart. He had a hard heart. Then we come to the flies. Where they say, go, you know, there are going to be swarms of flies. And once these flies came, what do we find Pharaoh doing? In verse 25, he says, "Go sacrifice to your Lord, to your God in the land." It begins to soften. So, and he pleads with them for relief from the plague. The relief comes. And as soon as the relief comes, what does it say in verse 32? But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. So once again, we have Pharaoh hardening his heart. Then we have the sick cattle. We have the cattle disease we've had of late. Only it goes to all of them. So they do a thing with the cattle. And then we read in verse 7, "But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go." Now we're going to skip the sixth one for the moment and come back to it, because in that one it says the Lord hardened his heart. But in the seventh one, here is when they're going to have hail. Now, let me call your attention. Now we've come to seven plagues. And in this plague, we are also going to see that Pharaoh hardens his heart, verse 34 and 35. So, plague one, who hardens the heart? Pharaoh. Plague two, who hardens the heart? Pharaoh. Plague three, who hardens the heart? Pharaoh. Plague four, who hardens the heart? Pharaoh. Five, who hardens the heart? Pharaoh. Seven, who hardens the heart? Pharaoh. Now let's come back here to verse 16. But indeed, of chapter 9, "But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, and that you will not let them go." Does that sound familiar? Have you heard that this morning? Yes. Paul, that's what Paul quotes there in Romans chapter 9. He quotes that verse when he describes why God is choosing Pharaoh. He is choosing him so that it will be remembered. Here was a man who had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and we can do it because really each of the plagues becomes an opportunity for Pharaoh to respond, and Pharaoh does not respond. So then we come and look back at chapter 6, 9, the sixth plague, the boils. In here it says, the Lord hardened the heart. 9:12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Now, what had the Lord spoken to Moses? He said, Pharaoh's going to harden his heart. I'm going to harden his heart. How did God harden the heart? By giving him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to respond to him. That's what it's all about. Then we have the eighth plague in chapter 10, verse 1. It says, go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. He keeps on doing it. He keeps on showing mercy. So when it's going to say that God shows mercy upon whom he shows mercy and hardness on whom he shows hardness, sometimes we think, well, Pharaoh was the hardened one and someone else got the mercy. No! Pharaoh was shown mercy. Over and over again. The ninth plague there, it begins at verse 21. And it says in verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. That's the word. And then finally, we have that tenth plague, where it's predicted that the firstborn were going to die. And it says in verse 10 of chapter 11, so Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. How did the Lord harden his heart? By showing him wonders. That's how he showed to Pharaoh mercy. And Pharaoh responded with a hardness of heart. Now come with me to verse 14. And we see this hardness continuing. God tells the children of Israel, now get ready to cross the Red Sea. And go camp before it. And he says in verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. What has happened at this point? We have had so many opportunities for Pharaoh to respond that no matter what is done at this point, Pharaoh is going to have a hardened heart. God did harden his heart. He did by showing mercy. He says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Then down in chapter 8, when Pharaoh has his 600 chariots and they're going to come get him, it says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Israel, of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. And then it's interesting, as we come to the Red Sea in chapter 14, verse 16. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Lift up the rod. Remember, here we come to the rod again, that rod. And I will indeed harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Here we find set before us a battle. It is a battle between the most powerful man of that day, the Pharaoh. And on the other side, it's not Moses. On the other side, it is God. Who won? God won. And we find here that there was the honor comes to God. God's reputation was enhanced as the one who does signs and wonders, miracles, and ultimately, through this whole process, God is the victor. Now come back to Romans chapter 9. And here we read in verse 18, therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Now, God showed mercy. God showed mercy to Moses. Moses responded. Moses' response was, God, I want everything you have. I want to know your will. I want to be your man. I want to know your blessing in my life. God gave him what he wanted. He comes to Pharaoh. He gives him multiple opportunities to follow him, to do what he wants, to do his will. And what does Pharaoh say? I want to do my will. Ultimately, that becomes a picture of all mankind. Man has a choice. They can respond to God, or they can harden their hearts towards him. Now, what I'd like to do is very quickly, I want to look at another passage. And I don't find people usually drawing a parallel here, but I think there's one that we can see. In Hebrews chapter 3. Now, in this passage, we are going to deal with the children of Israel. For we find after the Pharaoh incident, there is a sense in which what we learn from the miracles that led to their deliverance from Egypt should also have caused the Israelites to follow wholeheartedly after God in belief. But what happened? Notice here in Hebrews 3, verse 7. And we begin this quotation out of Psalm 95. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. And here we find a reminder of what happened with the children of Israel. And it refers to two events. There is that event because these Matzah and Meribah, place names for where God in an abundant way provided water at the beginning of the wilderness wanderings and at the end of the wilderness wanderings. Once again, a sign to the children of Israel. Now, that first one, after they had just left Egypt, we're just talking about a couple months down the road. They were quick forgetters because we were soon after that. And here it says, don't harden your heart as the children of Israel hardened their hearts. Now, did the children of Israel harden their hearts because God programmed their brains so that they couldn't respond? No, God hardened their hearts by doing a total miracle for them. And they rejected what God had done. Here we find in verses 7 and 8, we get the warning. In verse 9, you get the response to God's goodness. Where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. What we see there is for 40 years, they saw the signs of God, the miracles of God, the acts of mercy of God. 40 years they saw them. And what did they do? They hardened their hearts. That was the problem. They hardened their hearts. And so God's judgment comes. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That rest there referred to Canaan. They would not enter into God's blessing. Why? Because of their hardness of hearts. How were their hearts hardened? Did God harden their hearts? Yes, God hardened their hearts. How did God harden their hearts? God hardened their hearts by showing them act after act of kindness and mercy, of supplying their needs, of giving them what they needed, of protecting them, of manifesting His special direction to them in the Shekinah glory. God hardened their hearts by showing them miracles and mercies over and over again. But they rebelled, and they hardened their hearts. So they missed out going into the land that God had promised them. Now here's an application. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is yet called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today. The deceitfulness of sin. And what is the sign that is given today? The sign is Jesus Christ, God manifesting Himself as the Son of God, coming into this world, living with us, doing works, signs that could not be accounted for by human means, and dying for man's sin. And then the great sign above all signs that has ever occurred on this earth is the sign of the resurrection. God has given the man, has given mankind the resurrection that they might believe. And so man has a choice. They can respond in to God's mercy, or they can turn in unbelief. So here we have the conclusion of the matter. For who, having heard, rebelled? Once again, we go back. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Here we find the advantage, 40 years. Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief was keeping them from missing out on God's purpose, God's will, all down the way. What caused Pharaoh to miss out on God's blessing in his life? Unbelief. It was unbelief. And this chapter in Romans that we're studying in chapter 9, when we see where it's going, it is going to end on the note of there are Jews who had every opportunity to respond to God, and they missed out because of unbelief. But there were some Gentiles who believed. They believed in this one that was in the promised line, messianic line of the Jews. Though they were outsiders, they were included because of belief. So then, what do we say? God is a God of mercy. That's what I wanted you to see this morning. God says, I will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy, and I will harden those whom I harden. And how does he harden? He hardens by showing mercy. That's our God. He hardens by showing mercy. And so no one can say, God, you are a cruel and harsh God because you have chosen some and you have rejected others. The ones who get rejected are the ones who reject him and his mercy. Isn't that good? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are a God of mercy, that you delight in mercy, and we delight in you for delighting in mercy. And we would pray that we would never have a heart of unbelief, but that we would follow you in all of your ways, that we might know you, that we might know what you have for us. May no one miss out because of unbelief. So we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.